the dean admission, I asked the girl at home to find out in there, good about the bishop that. So she turned around and got this young fellow, was about 35 years old, who was dean of the mission. They were starting the mission the next day. And this guy gave me 3 hours, 2 hours. Took me around the town and took me across to this old gal in this bookstore who was on the quadrangle. Oh, it was really beautiful, New England. Mm-hmm. Layout. And went over this bookstore with an old building that used to be post office, and then it was pretty well run down. This little gal had a bookstore there. So I talked to her and she told me what I needed, styles. Ancient Windsor, she said, you get in, get everything in there. And she said they have copies over at the library. So we looked around the store and that's where I got those little sketches on the wall, you know. And, which I think they're precious now.
They're nice, yes.
Who gets it and throws it away, the damn fool if they throw it away. Yeah. Because I think that's a very interesting study.
I do too.
But they got, I bought those, and she said, you don't have to buy those. I said, certainly, I said, they're very, very interesting. I said, I can see you. And went over to the library. We looked, and I'd never done anything like it. And I started to read about Bissell. And the Francis, I said, it's impossible as far as I can see. So we went up the street and saw this Bissell. It was kind of a high mucky to muck with the town. He was one of the directors of the school.
Where was this?
In Suffield.
Suffield, Connecticut.
And he was a director of the Hartford Historic Society. So he called a girl, it was Friday, and he called a girl and said we'd be down there Saturday around 10 o'clock. So we went in and she had this Styles. Well, in the meanwhile, the Styles had been rewritten from the copy that was in the other library, had been compiled and coordinated. And look down the line, of style, Bolton, Connecticut. So I said, Francis, my God, I said, I got it. Bolton, Connecticut, Isaias Bissell, Bolton, Connecticut. That was the family.
Ian Coley.
And we came right down and there it was spelled out that he had gone into Cleveland, into St. Louis. I said, my God, I said, we've got the family.
Ann Coley had said, you know,
made a crack about Bolton, Connecticut, somewhere back along the way, you know, that had gotten in one of those rusty holes you got in your brain. And there it was. And I took it up into the attendant. I said, I'd like to have this photostat, this and this and this. And I said, I got it right down the line. She says, Mister, she says, you are a very, very lucky person. She said, people come here for weeks. She said, you're not in here an hour and you got everything. She says, But of course, they're not all thistles.
See, you knew all along. Huh? And you knew all along.
And then, went over to another historic place in the circle, right in the center of town. And they had a little, and I asked if there was any picture of Daniel Bissell there, and the guy perked up. He says, "Are you interested?" And I said, "Yeah." He says, "I'm a Bissell." And he was the son of the fellow that stared at me.
What did he do, Dad?
Hmm?
What did he do? Work in the...
I don't know. But he was the son of the Bissell that stared at me.
Then we wrote to St. Louis to a genealogist out there, and she sent some more to us, didn't she?
Well, I wrote out to say the genealogist at the Historic Society in St. Louis, and she knew nothing. She had never heard of it. She was absolutely blank. And had about three letters, it became obnoxious. Remember?
Oh, I certainly do. I type the letters.
So I discovered that there was a ump-de-ump cousin there, Shibanya, that was second cousin or something to this old lady there. You know, I never heard of her.
I know it. I was thinking about Catherine the other day. I wonder what happened.
I wonder if you ought to write her a card and give her a card to answer.
All right. Where would I write to? Timonium?
Timonium.
Just Timonium, Maryland.
Sure, because it comes through and it's signed, all right.
All right.
And
I was thinking about Mr. Pindle the other day, too.
Yeah. Oh, I guess he's gone.
He's a doll, yeah. Oh, I don't know.
Some of the little bastards, they live forever.
Right.
In their semi-poverty.
Mm-hmm.
But, anyhow, I got wise to this guy was there, and he, in turn, had made a trip through Europe a couple of years prior to that, and his cousin in Maryland had sent all the description of his trip, and he'd met some tremendous people in England, lords and ladies and what have you. And spent time with him. And she'd sent that to my mother. Well, that'd gone in the trunk. You never seen those again. And so I wrote to him. And didn't apologize. Thought they were doing a hell of a good job there. I told them they're doing a lousy job. Their librarian there was a fat ass. But the director gave us a name of a genealogist to look it up. And she charged so much an hour, and I think the damn thing cost me $16. She didn't spend a hell of a lot of time on it.
Wasn't she down in some part of Missouri doing
something, and she came across it. And here was a little pamphlet that he had written exonerating himself and his story that he had written and that brought it down to where his daughter had married to a Price in Baltimore, Maryland, which was where my godmother.
Your what?
My grandmother in prison. So I says, here we are, we're home free, right down the gravestones now.
Now, we had the one missing link, though. John Owings Price. We had to verify his parents.
And that was easy.
And then his birth, because he had gone to live with...
He had gone out to St. Louis to visit his first cousin. See, his mother was an old maid. I don't know how old she was, but she evidently, I haven't got a good picture on my great-grandfather. He died quite young. He must have died about 1810 or 1815. He was a lawyer that came up from Virginia. And his brother was a merchant that went out through New Orleans, and then taken a boat with his slaves up into St. Louis and established a mercantile business up there. Was running a trading post.
Right.
And then he was there, and then his brother was over in Maryland. So the brother evidently died.
It was Frederick Risden, right?
Huh?
Frederick Risden Price was your great-grandfather.
And then he died, and his... Who was she then to him? Oh yeah. See, John Price was a mother was an Owings. The one at the table.
Goodwin.
Hmm?
Then she married a Goodwin.
She married a Goodwin. And then the sister took the child, my grandfather, and raised it. And then she got engaged to President Monroe's brother, and left him at the church.
Literally, left him at the church. And so among the things that she had that were to go into her new home were carvings of eagles that were taken out of the White House when Monroe redecorated the White House. And Gay's son has those. There are two of them, right, Dad? But she took her nephew the night before the wedding and headed for St. Louis because she decided she didn't want to marry President Monroe's son, her brother.
She wasn't going to marry Monroe's brother. And she was out there for quite a long period. And then they came back into Baltimore, and he had married his first cousin. The boy that had grown up
Missile Price.
Together. Turned around and married his first cousin, was Ann Price. Those who... No wonder she wants it. I mean,
it's interesting.
Very, very interesting.
Interesting family.
And
right.
The family. But then they seemed to go poop.
We all came along.
They went kapoop. With, mother and these old maids, see, all dying, and settling out of state, mother's playing that damn stock market. Now, if she'd have played real estate, I'd be a little bit.
Would you have been any happier?
That is not the point.
I know.
Object in life is power.
You think so?
Why, certainly, and the power is being able to have what you want. You don't have to be a son of a bitch killing everybody or going around carousing and doing things like that, no. But you have to have a position. And we lost our position. See?
Right.
And you can't deny it, regardless of what the hell Adelaide says. And position in life is something. But my mother didn't, after she got her position, she didn't give a damn about anybody else. She blew the bubble. You can't deny that. I mean, it's not sacrilegious to say that about her. She just didn't care to take anybody along. She just took people with them. It wouldn't exert herself. You have to exert yourself. We should have had a good education because I could have used it to advantage. It was a damn shame with what she had, the connections she had, but she couldn't have seen that as a person. No, she thought everybody could be Andrew Carnegie and Charlie Schwab, Eddie Green, and all these old bags along the road that never had anything. But that came up with millions. These self-made men, they call them. Self-made robbers. But as you say, I'm perfectly happy about it. But it would have been nice to have carried on.
That's right, that's right.
I should have gotten on.
Did he ever marry Dad?
Not that I know. That one summer when I was 21.
What, Dad?
When I was 21, we were playing around down there with Howard White and he. And Howard was his cousin, first cousin. And we were swimming one day and it was raining. We were standing on a rock and the squire still blowing. Just about ready to die, the thing on. I said, hey, Mom, look out, I just know the damn girls over there. That's all right, they wouldn't know me from Adam, and there he was standing. I said, buddy, they certainly wouldn't. And he went.
Was that the swimming place Granny ran? Was that the quarry hole Granny ran?
No, that's the Beaver Dam up above
that. Up above that. How come she got to run that quarry hole?
Mm-hmm.
How did she get involved running that quarry hole?
Well, they had a hole in there. They had quarry holes all over the place. And Price and she, I don't know how stupid a bunch of people, kids were used to it, and they thought they'd make a swimming club instead of telling the business where they go. They charge 50 cents a day to go swim, spend their days up there picking and fixing 50 cent pieces up instead of picking up $50 people. but you couldn't be out all night. And drink all night and take care of the business the next day. Christ didn't know how to get along. She wouldn't give him a minute. They're all cold. She didn't know how to get him. She didn't have him.
Do you remember Granny when you were down in Bethlehem?
A little bit.
A little bit?
Because I happened to be in the act there until today. Of course, you know, Catherine, the big one, was behind the cage. She worked in the act.
Mm-hmm.
And this one day, Mom said, of course, it walked Bill.
You always called her Sarah Bernhardt.
Mm-hmm.
No, I think the way she was built.
Aunt Marion said she reminded her of Ethel Barrymore, and I said, but you always called her Sarah Bernhardt.
Yes.
Because of the temperament.
Yes, that's right. Mm-hmm. But Catherine
just
always
Barrymore liked lived next door to us.
John Barrymore.
No, Ethel.
Ethel Barrymore?
Oh, she did. Isn't that strange that I say that?
Yeah, isn't that? Did you know her, Dad?
Yeah.
Was she nice?
Cook. Colt.
Colt?
Edith Colt.
Ethel Colt.
Yeah. I didn't know her except how did the next door neighbor.
Granny know her?
No. You never know your neighbors in New York City except how do you do with the next door neighbor. No, she married us. Colt came home with her first baby at that house on 34th Street.
Well, John had a daughter, Diane. John Barrymore. He had a daughter. John Barrymore had a daughter, Diane.
Yeah, yeah.
She went to Greeley School. RMT is her sister. She
whatever happened to her? She died. She committed suicide. She was an alcoholic, wasn't she? And that's something the way that ran in that family.
Mm-hmm.
That was something the way that alcohol ran in that family.
Right.